Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in just a moment. This is my final show until Tuesday, so it's also the last time I can remind you about the 2021 Summer Golf Tour. Next week, week 7 out of 10 goes on sale Monday morning at 8 a.m. Dunes West Golf and River Club, next week's golf course, where you could get a foursome for just $98.9. But you better move quickly because these foursomes sell out within 30 minutes. So next Monday, 8 a.m., Dunes West Golf and River Club goes on sale 8 a.m. at charlestonsportsradio.com. You can head over there now to get your information, and come Monday at 8 a.m., go purchase your foursome at charlestonsportsradio.com for only 98.9. After today, I won't be back on the air till Tuesday. By then, the foursomes will be all gone. So this is the last reminder I can give you. Put it in your calendar, set an alarm next Monday, 8 a.m., you can get a foursome at Dunes West Golf and River Club for 98.9 online at charlestonsportsradio.com as our 2021 Summer Golf Tour continues. The Charleston Battery, they continue their season Friday night when they welcome in Miami FC. There are still limited tickets available. You can go get them online at charlestonbattery.com. And joining us now as we catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery each and every week from the Battery, joining us now is Temi Adesidan. Temi, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. Unfortunately, the game the other night getting postponed because of weather against the New York Red Bulls. I worked in baseball a long time. There was nothing worse than getting ready for a baseball game and then not being able to play the game because of weather. What was it like the other night to get ready for that game back at home, sold out crowd against the Red Bulls, and then because of weather not being able to play this past weekend?
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. Especially being at home, we always want to play. So when something like that happens, it's just kind of a downer. But we know it happens, so we just get ready or get back to practice and get ready for the next one.
And after coming off that first win, I'm sure you're looking forward to getting back out there, try to turn this into a winning streak, try to build off of that victory.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that first home win to get things going.
What's it been like? Yeah, what's it been like playing at home with that crowd? And you played at the College of Charleston, so you're used to playing around here and at Patriots Point. But what's it been like this year as we try to get back to normal and get some fans back in there? What's it been like playing at home for you?
It's great. Obviously, last year we couldn't have any fans, so coming back this year and then having like a sold-out crowd, that's fantastic. It's all we could hope for, and we just hope the fans ride it out with us this season.
You played at the College of Charleston, as I mentioned. What did it mean for you to be able to continue your soccer career and become a professional here in the area when you signed with the Battery at the end of the 2019 season?
I'm just super grateful. College of Charleston, I had a lot of fun there. Shout out to the coaches, Coach Lundy, Coach Keith, and Coach Tam. They all helped me get to where I am today, so I owe it to them and my teammates just for pushing our team to be good.
What do you think about the changes at Patriots Point there compared to when you were playing, a few years back to now, all the things that the ownership of the Battery have been doing?
Oh, the stadium is so cool. We're just thankful to Rob for setting all that up for us. He's a great, great guy. And, the stadium's cool. We like it. We like what has been done so far. And I think they've still got a few more things they're working on, so.
Oh, I can imagine so, yeah. Yeah, I could imagine. What was last year like for you? You signed at the end of the 2019 season. You come back to the Battery last year. You made your first pro appearance last year. But, as you said, the fans weren't there. We had this pandemic going on. How difficult of a year was it playing throughout all that stuff a year ago?
It was fairly difficult, just not having the fans especially. That was tough. It kind of made it feel like we were just like a scrimmage, but we were still able to push through and do well. I think we had a win streak or a few win streaks, so that was good for us.
And then I mentioned that first win of the season last Tuesday. That was also your first professional start. So what did that mean for you to be able to make your first professional start with the Battery?
That just means that hard work is paying off. So I'm going to keep doing that, and hopefully I'll get back in the lineup again.
Yeah, so you guys get back out there on Friday against Miami FC. Some tickets are still available. You can get them online, charlestonbattery.com, as we talk with Temi Adesuwin from the Charleston Battery. You're originally from, as I understand, Nigeria, but you've been living here in the United States for quite some time. At what age did you move to America?
I moved to the U.S. when I was about 11 years old.
And when you came over here, were you living in South Carolina? Did we lose him? That certainly sounded like it dropped. Yeah, we'll have to try to reconnect. Came over from Nigeria at 11, and we'll talk more about that because I believe he was living in South Carolina. Now then went to the College of Charleston, playing for the Charleston Battery. They'll be back out there Friday night against Miami FC. You can still get some tickets. We gave away some tickets yesterday. And if you weren't one of the lucky winners, you still have a chance to potentially get some tickets online while you still can before they sell out. And they, you got Home Team Barbecue out there now. Those are season-long vendors, Home Team Barbecue, Coastal Crust Wood Fire Pizza. You could get some good food while you watch some soccer Friday night at Patriots Point. Temi's with us again after we lost the connection. When you said you were 11 when you moved from Nigeria. Did you move to South Carolina when you came to the United States?
No, my family, my mother, sister, and I, we first moved to Louisiana. So we were there for a year before we moved to South Carolina.
Was that a difficult transition for you to come over here to a new country?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, I didn't know much about the U.S. So coming here is just like a lot of new things, and just makes you appreciate just the little things. So I'm super grateful to be able to be here.
Have you been back to Nigeria at all since you left when you were 11?
Yes, I actually have. I was there this past year.
How did Nigeria, how have they done with the, have they been affected, by the pandemic over the past year?
Yeah, definitely. Nigeria is a struggling country right now. I don't know if you know that, but, it was good. It was good to be home, but yeah, they're definitely going through some major political stuff there. So it's a bit difficult.
Yeah.
In regards to COVID and all that, I think they did a good job while I was there, at least. They did a good job regulating all that.
Did you grow up, growing up in Nigeria and then coming here when you were 11, was soccer always the sport for you? Were you playing at a young age?
I played in the streets a little bit, but I never played organized soccer. I never was on like a 11-a-side pitch, grass pitch playing. So my move, and so obviously soccer is the main sport there, so my love for soccer was developed from there. And then coming here, I just had an opportunity to join a team, and then that was kind of my first time playing organized soccer.
Wow, that's interesting. So what, when you were like 11, 12, how old were you when you first started playing?
I actually didn't start playing until my freshman year in high school.
Wow. So you start playing your freshman year of high school, you end up playing in college, now you're playing professionally. I mean, I guess you were a natural at this thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
What was it like, the recruitment? How did you wind up at the College of Charleston? Again, you just started playing in high school. You end up coming to play at the College of Charleston. What was the recruiting process like to have you wind up with the Cougars?
It just kind of all worked out from where I was. I went to a high school in Columbia, Irmo. Mm-hmm. And from there, I also played club soccer in Columbia. And, my coach just told me there's a camp in Charleston. You should attend it. And from there, I attended the camp. I spoke to Coach Lundy, Coach Keith, and they were interested. And so I signed here.
And now you're still here playing with the Charleston Battery now, playing professionally. You guys play Miami FC on Friday night at home. Tickets still available online at charlestonbattery.com. First time you're facing Miami FC this season. Give us a scouting report. What do you know about this team that you'll be playing on Friday?
We know they have a lot of experienced players. They're decent, pretty good. We just have to focus on our game and play to win. We just want to win and get that first win. That's our focus right now, is getting that first win at home.
and it'll be the first time that you'll actually play a game, knock on wood, weather pending, in 10 days. What have you seen from the team so far this year as we're a couple of games into the season? You guys had a great year last year. What do you think about the squad you have so far here in 2021?
I think the pieces are fitting in nicely. We're working hard in training. Again, just waiting to play. We're just all buzzing to play.
Before,
yeah, we're good, and I think we're going to have a good year.
Before we let you go, you've spent plenty of time now here in Charleston. When you have some downtime, when you have a day off, or even in the off season, what do you like to do? What's some of your favorite activities here in the Lowcountry?
The beach, man. The beach. The beach is the spot. That's where it goes down.
When you go to the beach, what type of beachgoer are you? Are you just laying out and relaxing? Are you like, getting on a boogie board or something in the water? What do you do at the beach?
I'm the guy with the soccer ball out there kicking around, juggling.
Yeah, I got you. The guys I'm always jealous of when I'm walking past them on the beach. Tammy Adesso in from the Charleston Battery. Tammy, appreciate all the time. Best of luck as you guys get back out there Friday, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Appreciate the time from Temmie from the Charleston Battery. Get your tickets online while you still can. CharlestonBattery.com. They play Miami FC Friday night at Patriots Point. There are still some tickets available, and they always have great things going on over there. They have season-long food vendors like Home Team Barbecue, Coastal Crust Wood-Fired Pizza. I got one of those when I went out for the home opener. Fantastic. So you can get yourself some pizza, some good barbecue. They have other food trucks that come in and out throughout the season. Plenty of drink options. And I love the different seating options, the different standing rooms, the different kind of like bar areas. That's always the best, right, where you have like a bar environment while also at a sporting event. So get your tickets today. Check them out, charlestonbattery.com. Get your tickets while you still can. The Charleston Battery back at home Friday night against Miami FC at 7 p.m. Appreciate the time from Temmie. Go get your tickets now. After Friday, they are not home for over a week, so, you know, until next Saturday, June 26th. So get on out there Friday night. Hopefully the weather stays away. I mean, another brutal storm, ridiculous storm last night. Man, the lightning was right outside my window at one point. So hopefully we have got a beautiful night for Friday for some soccer at Patriots Point. Coming up, this is my final show before Father's Day, and we're always here to help. So when we come back, we'll get you set. We'll get you ready. In case you need a last-minute idea for Father's Day, we're here to help. And we'll do it next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, this is our final show before Father's Day, so we are here to help. We will help you in just a moment. Get ready for this weekend here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Or you can find the show on demand online at charlestonsportsradio.com or download our new app and find the podcast available through our app. Just simply search ESPN Charleston or ESPN 98.9 in the App Store and download our new free app today. I got my Red Sox shirt on today. That's right. Sorry, Braves fans. The Braves bullpen is now 9-17 this year. Right, so like for starting pitchers, you should only care about earned run average. Wins and losses don't care. For the bullpen, you shouldn't care about ERA so much because one bad outing can balloon the ERA. They pitch fewer innings. Wins and losses are still important for the relief pitchers because that means you're coming in close games and you're coughing it up. Or if you get a win, right, you're keeping your team in it and they rally late to get you the win. So the record is important for the bullpen, ERA important for the starters. And right now the Braves bullpen is 9-17 this year. It's the most losses of any National League bullpen and trails only the Twins for the most losses overall in baseball. And the Twins, that's the big reason why they've been such a disappointment this year, is because their bullpen has been so bad. So for the Braves, they got to work on that bullpen. And the next 2 weeks will decide their season. They get the Mets next week for four games. We'll see what happens here. By the time we get to July, if there's still something like 7 games out, if there's still 5 games under 500, then no, I don't think they have it in them to turn it around. I already don't think that, but I'll give them a chance because they have 4 games against the Mets next week. They can get right back into it. Okay, so this is our final show until Father's Day. We're always here to help. So if you're looking for some last-minute ideas, I got some from you, or got some for you, from Katie Lindendahl, who puts together her list of the best gadgets for each of these holidays. So we have our Father's Day music bed, and let's run through some of these in case you need a last-minute gift idea. That's right. He's a jolly good fellow. By the way, if you look at the lyrics to this song, I don't know what they're talking about. Very weird lyrics outside of the just, oh, he's a jolly good fellow. All right, so some ideas for you if you need a last-minute gift. How about the Yumly Smart Meat Thermometer? This thing is really cool. You put this into the meat while you got it in the oven or even whatever. You want to use it on the grill, and it has an app on your phone, and it tells you on your phone the internal temperature of the meat. It tells you when you should flip the food. It tells you when the food is done. It gives you a time. You put the food in. It's keeping you updated. Hey, food's going to be ready at 7:30. Okay. And you can leave and go do whatever you got to do. When you want to check on the meat, just go on your phone. It's a thermometer you put into the meat. It's tied to your phone. It's perfect. And it works up to 150 feet. So you can, you know, go out back, have some beers, or if it's out back in the grill, you can go inside, watch TV. Great idea. I'm going to be traveling tomorrow. There's nothing worse than the annoying people, right, on the plane. How about some Bose Quiet Comfort headphones? Those are always pretty good. They last for 2.5 hours. Check those out. I'm going to be using my noise-canceling headphones tomorrow on the plane. You never want to be seated behind some sort of, you know, crying baby. Anybody that knows me knows I love my hair. Right, there aren't many things about me that I care too much about, but my hair is one, even though I wear a hat every day. There's this great On Point pomade by Maddie Mullins, which you can find at onpointmade.com. Make sure your father's hair is looking good this time of year. How about that Hypervolt? I want one of these. You've seen them before. They're those machines that you plug in some sort of, it's got a handle, it's got a silver top, but it's got the black plugs into it, and it's a massager, and you'll just sit there and use it on yourself. A Hypervolt at hyperprice.com. Those things are always good. Now, your father could get a great massage. He could give himself a massage to de-stress on Father's Day. Sitting there watching TV and you're just using that on your knees and everything. And lastly, according to Katie, the last thing she gives for Father's Day, the Yeti Trailhead Camp Chair. Yeti's taken over the world, but you now have the camp chair as well. And you can find this online at yeti.com. It's comfortable, durable, and it was neurotically overbuilt. That's how it's described, like everything Yeti does. Some ideas for you for Father's Day this weekend. I love the meat thermometer. That's the best one. I'm not much of a cook, so I never know. I put the meat in the oven. I have no idea. Like, is it done? I got to cut it in the middle. See, I think it looks okay. I don't know. And then I'm always worried. I can get very neurotic about that stuff. Did I not cook it enough? Am I going to get food poisoning? Am I poisoning myself? You get one of those thermometers. You put it in the meat. You walk away. You check your phone. It keeps you updated. The Yumly Smart Meat Thermometer. That's right up there. For anybody who's, if any father in your life, man in your life that does all the grilling or the cooking, and you need a last-minute gift for your father, or you know, if you're listening and you got a husband that's a father you got to get something for, there you go. That's pretty good. Now, it is a little costly for a meat thermometer, but connects to your phone up to 150 feet. Thank me later. Some last-minute ideas, because we won't be on the air till after Father's Day again, in case you need a last-minute gift. All right, coming up, that was just to help you for Father's Day. Coming up, Major League Baseball is finally stepping up to the plate when it comes to sticky substances. And also, I told you earlier about the local media member that almost got himself in some trouble with some barbecue. We'll get his side of the story coming up as well. We got a lot to do as we move on throughout the afternoon, final show of the week with you. And we'll get to the baseball stuff when we come back. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio. Shake it, shake it, shake it.
Coming up, Major League Baseball is finally stepping up to the plate when it comes to the sticky substance issue. We'll get to that here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time earlier from the member of the Charleston Battery who joined us earlier. You can find that on demand. Temi Adesidan. And you can find that on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Earlier, we also shared the story about a local media member who almost got himself in a, pun intended, sticky situation as well when treating someone to lunch here in the area. We've tracked him down. Bill Burr is with us now. Bill, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Luke. Great to be with you.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Appreciate you stopping by to come see us. Of course, you can watch Bill on TV every night on the local Fox affiliate. Appreciate you joining us. So we played the audio earlier. We shared the story. Damon Amendolara, who you can hear in the area, works for CBS Sports, came down here to Charleston to vacation, and you were kind enough to treat him to lunch. But as we played the audio earlier, you were concerned that you realized right as you were going, you thought, oh boy, what did I sign up for? There may be more people here than I bargained for, right? Is that how it worked?
I'm not going to lie. When I saw the tweet, and you was it you that was tweeting
yes.
with him last week?
So I reached out
to him.
2 weeks
ago. Okay, yeah.
Because
he was talking about coming to Charleston, and I got excited because I listened to DA typically on Sunday mornings in the fall on CBS Sports Radio. So I said, and I really enjoy him. I said, oh, this is awesome. I can go and meet him. And then when I saw the tweet, I thought maybe he was coming into town for maybe like a media blitz, maybe to do some promotional stuff here at the radio station. And I thought, well, maybe I can get a free meal off Uncle Gil and you, if you're paying, or if Bobby's going to be here, maybe he's going to pay for the free lunch. So I said, okay, this is awesome. And then when DA reached out to me on Twitter, he said, hey, we're going to be there at such and such a time. And I said, oh, gosh, he said, we. So maybe that's he's going to bring his whole program here, his producers and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I don't know if I can afford this. But I'm going to go. But I'm being a member of the community on Fox 24, mm-hmm. I'll go and I'll pay and hopefully expense it.
So what's the play, though, as you're driving there, probably running through these scenarios? What is like the slick move to offer to get lunch, show up? And if that was a situation where you realize like, oh, shoot, I kind of overextended myself. I got to get lunch for all these people. How do you get out of a situation like that without looking like a jerk?
That's a good question. I'm playing out different scenarios. If there were like 10 people there, there's just no way. I'll just be honest and say, I'm sorry, I can't handle 10 people, or if it's 5 people. But it was DA and his lovely wife. So I said, okay, I'll just suck it up and do it. And it wasn't bad. It's not a big deal. I mean, I'll pay it forward. It's mm-hmm. not a big deal. And he and his wife were tremendously gracious. And I was hoping you were going to be there, or maybe Bobby or someone else. But it was just those two, and we had a wonderful time. And I paid it forward, and I'll get it back down the line at some point.
Yes. I'll have to treat you to lunch now after you can make the time to stop by and talk to us about this, because we played the audio earlier talking with Bill Burr, who you can watch on Fox 24 each night. And so Rodney Scott, right? Is that the place?
We went to Rodney Scott's barbecue on King Street. DA had reached out and said, hey, where should we go for good barbecue? And I said, oh, my gosh, where are we going to go? So many good places. And I just off the top of my list, top of my head, I said, let's just go to Rodney Scott's.
When you offer somebody like that, now DA mentioned in that clip, we played it earlier, he wanted to be nice, you were treating, and it's a very kind thing for you to do. He and his wife were there, so they don't want to overextend themselves. They don't want to get the 5-course meal. When you offer lunch for someone, what's the expectation that, do you hope that person, takes it easy, or do you go in understanding like, hey, if they want to get half the menu, I offered to pay?
Well, that's what it is. I mean, it's when you offer like that, you have to pay up. But I thought, well, it's lunch. Lunch is a little safer because the meals aren't as big and they typically aren't expensive as mm-hmm. as dinner. And I typically don't eat that much anyway. I usually have a late afternoon snack at the TV station just because of my work schedule. So I said, I'm just going to go with it and have fun. And it's Rodney Scott's. I don't get a chance to go there as often as I should. And so I said, I'm just going to go. And besides, this is a major media personality. If indeed he tweets or does something on social media and mentions my name, I don't want to look like a fool in front of all of his fans across the country, because his radio show is across the country.
Yeah, that's true. That's true as well. Now, you are a sports guy. While we have you here, we might as well talk a little sports before we let you go, just so the bosses can't give me a hard time. You're a Pittsburgh guy. Expectations as we look ahead to the football season for your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I'm so glad, first of all, that you asked me about that, because let's just skip the Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay,
right.
They've lost 9 in a row. I think the season's over. We haven't had a good season in quite some time. So But you know, I, as a lifelong Steelers fan, you know, I'm always looking ahead. We're always optimistic, and this could be Big Ben's last season, and I think the hopes are high. I think we want him to go out on a high note. If indeed, most likely, this will be his last season, and we'll see what happens. I mean, last year was fluky. It was so weird because of coronavirus. The Steelers won 11 in a row, of course, and then they choked later in the season, and I don't know what to think of it. Maybe it was just a combination of factors. You can blame COVID. I don't. You know, we just choked. It's the way it is. But I'm optimistic. We'll see. I think this conference is very interesting between Cleveland and what they're doing, and of course Baltimore always gives us a hard time, and then there's Cincinnati. So it's an interesting conference, and we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Yeah, I think it was Travis Kelce just said that the Cleveland Browns are on about the same level as the Chiefs. As a Steelers fan that watches that division, what do you think of the Cleveland Browns this year? Do you think they could be a team that, you know, the Cleveland Clowns, that could finally compete for a Super Bowl?
I know. They're no longer the mistake on the lake.
That's right.
I mean, God, they haven't had a good season in so long. And then when they got their new quarterback and they started making these changes, and their umpteenth coach for how many coaches have they gone through in the past 15 years? Lord knows how many.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, they look good and they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
I give them credit.
They sure have. I've always wondered this since I came to town in the past 3 years, and I've seen your name and I've seen you on TV. How often do you get questions about the comedian Bill Burr?
It happens, and I get it mostly whenever the comedian Bill Burr makes a national appearance, whether it's on one of the late night political shows like Colbert or whomever, or if he's making an appearance on HBO or something. And then people will look for him on Twitter, but of course my name comes up. Mm-hmm. And so I get all these instant follows on social media. And then I have to politely go on Twitter and say, hey, if you're looking for the comedian Bill Burr, look for the other guy. I just tweet about news and my cat and beer. So if you're looking for jokes, I'm not the guy.
Bill Burr, who you can watch here, our own Bill Burr here, you can watch on Fox 24 each night. So all in all, things worked out okay with DA, with meeting for lunch. You maybe had an anxious car ride trying to figure out the situation, but it all ended up working out.
It all worked out fine. I didn't get a free meal. I paid for it, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. DA is a class act. He and his wife are just wonderful. And I was hoping, like I said, that you were going to be there, or maybe Bobby, but you guys weren't. But we'll do it some other time.
Yes,
and absolutely. get Gil to pay for it.
That's right, of course. If that's the case, then I'm in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Anytime he's paying, I'll be there. He's
right.
Bill Burr. For those listening, where can they find you on TV each night?
Fox 24 at 6:30 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Perfect. And you can get him on Twitter as well, at BB on TV. He's not the comedian, but he is the guy that will keep you up to date on everything going around here in the Lowcountry. Bill, I know you have to get to work, so I appreciate you taking time out to come over here, stop by. We played the audio earlier. We talked about it, so we had to get your side of the story.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. It was a lot of fun, and I'm so glad you played the audio. I missed it. He told me he was going to post it or do something with his podcast, and I need to go take a look at it and listen.
Certainly. Well, he's Bill Burr. Watch him on TV tonight. When we come back, we'll get into the Major League Baseball stuff with the league finally trying to crack things down on the sticky substances. It's the Mar Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, Major League Baseball has finally decided to step up to the plate and do something about the sticky substance issue. Get to that coming up here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Funny you play this song, Joe. You tell me this was from Beverly Hills Cop number 2.
You would be right.
So I got a text last night from a buddy of mine who said, I just watched Beverly Hills Cop number 3. And he said it's definitely the worst of the series, but my buddy got a real kick out of the scene where the carjackers are dancing around to the Supremes, I think it is. And then the bad guys come in and they shoot up the whole place. It is one of the... I watched it afterwards because my buddy said this, and I didn't remember the scene, so I found it on YouTube. It's one of the weirder scenes. These carjackers stole a car that had something in the back that somebody wanted to get, and they just start dancing. Supremes come on the radio, and they start, and it's these two big guys, and they're doing like somersaults and their cartwheels, and they're dancing together, and then it's just so awkward. You have to go find it on YouTube yourself. It's become like a iconic scene. But then it's awkward. The bad guys, worse than the carjackers, come in, and they shoot up the place, but it's just such a ridiculous scene that you have all these people working on cars, and yet no one's realized, they don't hear the gunfire, and each one of them, one by one, turns around like, huh, what's going on? And then, they get lit up, and of course they go flying. You always see this in movies. Somebody gets shot, and they go flying across the room. It's just the most ridiculous scene.
And that's why they stopped at the third one, because it was obvious they're running out of ideas.
Yeah. It was so awkward. I watched the scene last night, and I thought, this is so weird. Why are these guys dancing? What does that have to do with anything? And then just the way they shot it. You know, if you're in a car garage like that and you hear gunfire, I think you know what's going on. Everyone was still working on the cars, and one by one, like so slowly. It was almost like the opening credits of the old 80s sitcoms, or think like Full House. And it's the part of the scene, and then it freezes. You know, they look at the camera and they smile, and it says John Stamos. And then Bob Saget, his character's talking to somebody, and then he looks at the camera, and like it's so slow developing. That was the case here. One by one, they all turn around like, what's going on? And then they get lit up. And then somebody else turns around like, oh, what's going on over there? And then it all started with these carjackers just doing somersaults to like Diana Ross. Anyways, it's just it was a coincidence. One of my friends was texting me about Beverly Hills Cop 3, and Joe plays that song for number 2, which, by the way, was won the Golden Globe for Best Original Song. You said that was Bob Seger?
Yes, it was.
I never would have guessed. That sounded nothing like him.
And the Silver Bullet Band.
Yes, of course. Can't forget the Silver Bullets. Shakedown.
Although he started out as the Bob Seger System.
Ah, how about that? Look at that. I'm looking up the song now. Glenn Frey was the first choice to record that song after his hit, The Heat Is On, from Beverly Hills Cop. But he did not like the lyrics.
Well, that would have been too predictable as well.
Yeah, that's true. You got to mix it up.
Well, I don't know. Then again, Kenny Loggins was Mr. Movie theme of the 80s. But seriously, he did the themes for both Caddyshack and Caddyshack 2.
He did, what was it, Danny's Song? You got the guy doing Danny's Song, and now then the 80s came around, and he's doing all the soundtracks to these action films. Glenn Frey did not like the lyrics, came down with laryngitis anyway, so the song was given to Bob Seger, who are both, they're both from Detroit. So anyways, on a Way Back Wednesday, talking Beverly Hills Cop. Hey, appreciate the time from Bill Burr stopping by last segment. You can watch him on Fox 24 News each and every night. We shared the story earlier. I happened to hear this audio. I kind of got tangled up, and I tweeted out at DA last week, hey, well, have a good time coming to town. And then Bill met up with him for barbecue, but then he realized in the car ride over, what if it's 100 people I got to pay for? How do you get out of a situation like that where you offer to pay for lunch for somebody, and then, they show up with all sorts of people, and you realize, oh, I didn't know it was going to be this many. But appreciate Bill taking the time out on his way to work. We were talking about it earlier. We were able to get a hold of him. He stopped off on his way to work, give his side of the story. Appreciate him coming on the air. Great guy. You can find him on Twitter. Watch him on TV every night. Major League Baseball has finally stepped up to the plate with this whole sticky substance thing. Now, Major League Baseball, while trying to do the right thing, also deserves some criticism for finally doing it now. What took you so long? Like Newman said when the cop showed up in Seinfeld, what took you so long? And I think that was a reference to, who was it? Was it Son of Sam? Somebody delivered that line. Some famous, notorious criminal delivered that line when the cops came at his door. What took you so long? It may have been Berkowitz. But Major League Baseball put out a memo yesterday. They pushed everything back a week. I had said on the show previously that it was going to start this past Monday, a couple days ago. It's actually going to start next Monday, where umpires are going to be checking these pitchers. And each reliever that comes in, they're going to check them. And as they come off the field, they're going to check them. And when the starters come back out, they're going to check. They said potentially 8 to 10 times a game. Could slow things down, but certainly is worthwhile. And additionally, they've been using the first few months of this season to put together scouting reports. So each umpire and crew will know for that night, just to throw out a random name, right? Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer's pitching tonight. Well, look for Bauer. He puts the substance on the inside left portion of his glove. And he usually uses spider tech, whatever it is. It's this type of substance. So the umpires know exactly what to look for. They'll check the glove. Okay, you have something there. And the memo went out yesterday, warning teams and also telling them that they will begin searching on Monday. The first game, by the way, on Monday,
if all the games get played between now and Monday, if there are no rainouts, the first game come Monday when this checking will begin is the New York Mets. And who is scheduled to pitch? Jacob DeGrom. Now, if you look at spin rates, DeGrom is not suspicious. He does not seem to be cheating or using any substances. But it is funny that DeGrom, with this run he's been on, he will most likely be the first pitcher that will be checked. Actually, that will be against the Atlanta Braves. So the Braves game against the Mets, it's a doubleheader, so they play at 5 o'clock the first game on Monday in New York. So DeGrom will take the mound first. He'll be the first pitcher checked, most likely, and he'll be in that Braves game. So if you're a Braves fan, there you go. Something to look forward to. The Braves will be the first team involved in all this next Monday. By the way, how about the situation last night with Chris Martin? You know, he's not cheating because, A, he's getting lit up, but, B, because he licked his hand. Now, you can't do that on the mound. Or you have to be off the rubber. I think maybe even off the dirt completely to lick your hand. You can't do it on the rubber. And you can't try to throw a spitball. But that's another giveaway. Pitchers have this stuff on their fingers that you can't even wash it off. So if you watch the pitchers that are licking their hands, they're probably not using a substance because you're not going to lick your hands if you have spider tack on them. That stuff, that's a nasty substance. Right? One pitcher shared a story about how he got stopped at the airport. They thought he had explosives on his fingers. It showed up in the in the scan because he still had the spider tack substance on his hand. And people are upset that Major League Baseball is trying to ban it, right? Additionally, what I found funny in this memo was they're saying no sunscreen for night games or games that are indoors. Because, of course, who needs sunscreen at night or when you're playing in a dome stadium? That's another giveaway. Why does this guy have all this sunscreen on, right? He's pitching in a dome. So they said no more sunscreen because it's hard to ban sunscreen for a sport that plays outdoors. But if you're using sunscreen indoors, man, that's a little suspicious. No more of that. Now, of course, all sorts of players had reactions yesterday. Jack Flaherty, a pitcher of the St. Louis Cardinals, after this news came out, he tweeted out, "What are we doing?" I'll tell you what they're doing. Major League Baseball is trying to clean up the game. Steven Souza, who is a batter, he's on the offensive side, he tweeted out yesterday, "Those of you who suddenly found a nasty slider or curveball via spider tack, see ya. Those of you who already have a nasty breaking ball, it'll be fun to compete against you again." A fan tweeted at him and said, "How many dudes in Major League Baseball do you believe are using spider tack?" Souza responded, 90%. "I've shared the data with you that spin rates have dropped for 67% of pitchers since Major League Baseball first put out the idea that they were going to crack down on this." And Trevor Bauer, kind of the poster child of all this, he has allowed 13 runs in 19 innings since that announcement. Doesn't look like the sub-2 ERA Cy Young winner from a year ago. Funny how that works. Buster Olney, who of course covers Major League Baseball for ESPN, tweeted out he thinks a lockout is coming because remember, the CBA is up this offseason. And so while a lot of the hitters will be happy with this, a lot of the pitchers will not. And it's a whole tricky situation. A lot of pitchers believe what they were doing isn't wrong. They all want to pass it off as it's just for grip so I don't hit so many guys. We're doing this for you, hitters, which is a bunch of nonsense. And then we get to this take. Tyler Glasnow, who is having a good year with the Tampa Bay Rays, he just suffered an injury. It looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the year. You can understand why he was frustrated. He just got news that he had an arm injury. He's going to be out for the year. But this was Glasnow yesterday talking to the media and even blaming this memo, this reaction by Major League Baseball for his injury. Here was Glasnow yesterday.
"Whether you want us to not use sticky stuff or not is fine. Fine. Do it in the offseason. Give us a chance to adjust to it. But I just threw 80-something, 70-whatever innings, and then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season. Everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt. Me throwing 100 and being 6'7 is why I got hurt, but that contributed. And so I'm just frustrated that, like, they don't understand how hard it is to pitch one, but to tell us to do something completely different in the middle of a season is insane. I just don't, it's ridiculous. There has to be some give and take here. You can't just take away everything and not add something. Pitchers need to be able to have some sort of control or some sort of grip on the ball. And I just don't want things like this to happen to somebody else. I don't want a fastball to sail away and hit somebody in the face like it already has. So I just think, like, I understand you need to take an aggressive approach here, but, like, I just think people are going about it all wrong. And I'm sitting here, my lifelong dream, I want to go out and win a Cy Young. I want to be an all-star. And then now it's over. And I have to try and rehab to come back in the playoffs. So I'm clearly frustrated. It's just, I think there needs to be a lot more people need to figure this out. You can't just tell us to use nothing. That's crazy.
Look, I feel bad that Glasnow has an injury and he's out for the year. He was having a good season. But I have zero sympathy for his idea, his theory, his complaint that he got injured because he can't use an illegal sticky substance anymore. Boo-hoo. It'd be like if you cheated on all your tests all year and then your teacher said, okay, that's it. I'm cracking down. No one can cheat on tests anymore. And you say, but I've been cheating on tests all year. What am I supposed to do now? And that's what I've been doing this for 70 to 80 innings this year. Okay, you shouldn't have been doing it for any innings. How about you figure out a new way to pitch? Because for hundreds of years, guys were pitching without these sticky substances. There's a thing on the back of the mound called a rosin bag. Use that for your grip. And there's a reason why we're at an all-time high for percentage of hit batters. So don't tell me that everyone's using spider tack to have better control. Then how come we're hitting more batters than ever before? In fact, I saw on Twitter a doctor yesterday, a scientific doctor, I don't know, this stuff's over my head, but he did a breakdown of how he showed spider tack actually doesn't help. It actually could hurt your accuracy, your grip, your accuracy. It increases spin rate, but it doesn't do much for pinpoint accuracy. So science also tells you you're a bunch of liars. So stop selling us on this idea that, well, we need this for our accuracy. Pitchers have been pitching for 100 years without spider tack and these other substances. I think you can too. Right? It'd be like saying to your team, I've cheated all year. What am I have to actually study now? Oh, no. Right? You have to actually pitch on the mound without using illegal substances? Oh, no. How are you going to do it? And this is where you can separate the men from the boys. Right? The pitchers that actually need this stuff to be able to perform well, sorry. Then you shouldn't be a major league pitcher. Right? It was like when the pandemic struck and people in this industry said the same thing. Right, for the people that rely on games, that rely on just reading the scores or something, they're going to struggle during the pandemic when there's no games on. That's how you separate the men from the boys in the media industry. Who can cover sports when there are no sports going on? Same idea here. Who can still pitch when you can't use illegal substances? Tyler Glasnow is concerned. How am I supposed to pitch now? I've been cheating all year. They have to give us, how can they just take something? They got to give something. What they took away was something you should never use. And no, they shouldn't have done it mid-season, but enough is enough. Something had to be done at this point. They should have done it at the start of the season. But I'm sorry that Tyler Glasnow got injured, but I don't have any empathy for this idea that he got injured because of that, because they took away those substances. I find that hard to believe. Just don't cheat. Try that. We'll see how this goes starting Monday. If players get caught, they'll be suspended 10 days, I believe without pay. That was the hope. I don't know if Major League Baseball is doing that. But the other interesting wrinkle is that you can't replace them on the roster. So it's also a punishment to the team. They'll be playing a man down for 10 days. So that also incentivizes you, right? Not only that you'll be embarrassed publicly, but also your team will be unhappy. Like, man, you know, you went out there, you did something you shouldn't have, and now we got to play shorthanded for 10 days. It'll be looked at almost as a selfish act. Now, everyone's doing it, so the other pitchers probably won't care because they're cheating too. But that's another part of it, to try to curb this from happening, that you're doing a disservice to your team as well if you get caught. We'll see what happens starting Monday. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Dave from Georgetown is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Keep saluting us from Georgetown, South Carolina.
Yes.
What is a rosin bag? They don't care what a rosin bag is. They want to do it their way.
Well, their way is illegal. It's not allowed.
The other way, I know it, because you're getting caught. But the other way is old-fashioned. Got it? But I don't want you to cut me off, so let's get off that. I want to talk about something more important, Father's Day.
Yeah.
I hope you have a good vacation.
Thank you.
And Joe, too. And I pray for y'all to have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Now, I got a question. You come up with the top 10 there that you was reading. I'm singing in church now,
uh-huh.
And when Mother's Day come up, I sit my dad's banjo up there on the stand, and I had two cards on it and a Mother's Day bow, and before I sung my song, I said, Happy Mother's Day. This isn't my Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got a card here for the oldest mother, and I got a card here for the youngest, and I give them out to her.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think about a gift card. But this is the first time I'm doing it. So we do it on a Friday night. And then that same church on Sunday, you know, does something for Mother's Day. But I don't go to that church. So I do it on Friday nights because if people are there, they won't be in that church. You understand?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. So now Father's Day, I'm going to take the banjo. Now I'm going to just have two Father's Day cards. And it has I think it's Psalms. There's two scriptures in the Bible. I'm going to read them. And then I was thinking about getting two $15 gift cards because I don't know who they could be. I don't know these people. What do you think about it?
I think that's a very kind thing. I think that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
And I have charity. I love to give, and I'm able to give, you know, give a little.
Yeah.
See, I had my mother for 87 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
I still have her. I think about her on Mother's Day, don't get me wrong. She's in my heart.
Yeah.
But I still honor her, even though she's passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Daddy. I think about the things I've done with him. But I'm not stopping it there. Now I'm going to give to other fathers and mothers because I'm able to do it. I don't have to give my father and mother a gift. You got it?
Yes, I think that's great.
Some people just cut it off. See, me and my wife didn't have any children. I helped raise one of hers to about when he was about six, and then we parted. And then she died about 2 years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, I know what it's about. I helped raise one of hers. So I guess I was, call it a half-father. I would
say you're a stepfather, yeah.
Yeah, stepfather.
Well,
but
I think that's
so
great.
I'm glad I could still give, and it makes me feel good, Teacher Luke, when I do that. A warm feeling comes all over me, and I'll take it. So y'all have a good trip, and Joe, you too. Joe, are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, y'all have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Do things with them because they might not be here next year.
That's right. Absolutely. Appreciate it, Dave from Georgetown. Appreciate your parents. That takes us to hour three next. We'll talk to somebody who will speak exactly about that next on the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.